You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins, the Director of Leadership at Lifeway Christian Resources. Today, we're asking 5 leadership questions of Selma Wilson, who is the Vice President of Organizational Development at Lifeway Christian Resources. Welcome to the podcast, Selma.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you. I'm so impressed with what you guys are doing. Great contribution to leaders across the country and across the world.
Well, thank you. And if you could just start off by telling us, before we started, you gave me your title as Vice President of Organizational Development. You said it's vague and doesn't non-descriptive, I think was the term you used. So if you could just tell us a little bit about what does that role entail, and then just a little bit about your background, your family, how you got to be where you are in leadership right now.
Wow, that would take a long time. I love to say this position's really about people. It's really the people strategy of a company. So many times organizations will spend so much time on strategy and planning and execution, they can forget the primary way you do that is through people. So it's really aligning your people strategy up against your overall strategy as an organization, whether a church or whether a nonprofit or a business organization. So more and more companies are realizing that that is critical and needs to be at the front end of all planning and all strategy. So I'm a people person, have been all my life. I guess if you put a calling or a gifting from God in me, it is that I love people. I love helping people reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. My husband and I have a marriage and family ministry that God called us to. And one of the ways that God, because when I got into this Lifeway world and this business world, it wasn't my plan, which most of what God does isn't our plan, because I was in marriage and family. And I remember when I was wrestling with moving into more of the business side of things, God clearly showed me that the family aspects of God's plan for family are so similar to God's plan for an organization. And it really was that aha moment that when you help families reach their full potential in Christ, it's the same principles that you do in an organization. So I just happen to love people, and I love to help people be right where God has called and gifted them to be. So it's a fun place for me.
Well, the first question that I would have for you today is, who are you learning from? I know you well enough to know that you're a lifelong learner. Oh. So who are you learning from at the present?
Todd, I tell you, one of the challenges for all of us that love learning is absorbing all the learning that we have that opportunity to do. So one of the disciplines I've learned in reading and devouring information is I try to always make the priority God and His Word, because it's so easy to be reading everything else and forget that the primary source book for all of life and all of wisdom comes from God's Word. So that's something I really try to make. I get up at 4 every morning, and I'm in the Word every morning, and it's just a discipline that has made me a better leader. But now, I think different seasons, you read different things. I'm all about reading people and change management right now. We're in the middle, in our organization, of going through massive change. We've just had strategic reset of the company to a One Lifeway strategy. It's very significant. And now we're in the middle of selling a building and moving a legacy organization forward in a new workplace model. So I'm reading a lot about change and change management. I've dusted off Cotter's book on leading change. There's an organization called Burson by Deloitte that talks about it aggregates. It's a research firm that aggregates organization and organizational change. They work with about 5,000 large companies, and I've been devouring trends in future workplace. I've read a digital disruption, Forrester Research, because we know the digital world has changed and is impacting a lot of the pace of change for us today, so staying on top of that. Dr. Rainer gave us a book, Workplace and Culture, Change Your Space, Change Your Culture, a fantastic book about the impact of environment on change and moving a culture forward. So I'm really devouring things in that people strategy and change management right now. Harvard, but any business book you pick up today is going to talk about change and people strategy.
It's because it's nonstop right now.
It's the speed of change, mm-hmm. Barnabas. It's just, I mean, it really is the speed of change.
I think it's not only the speed of change, it's the complexity of change.
Yes. You're right.
A friend of mine in D.C. was, his job was to predict the weather for the government. And that may sound like a...
Is that easy?
Here's the thing.
It sounds like an exercise in inaccuracy.
No.
Weather and government.
Yeah. I'm telling you, no. So his job, there are people just like him that are employed by companies, food and beverage companies, to predict what the weather will be like this summer.
So for crops and harvesting, things
absolutely.
Like that.
So
studying all.
Yes. Coca-Cola needs to know where to ship what when.
Wow.
As an example.
Now that is complex.
The interesting thing about it is he said there are times where the weather systems and how they come together are so complex that you can't predict what's going to happen in 20 minutes.
Wow.
A lot of the time, you can actually look out a couple of months in advance. But he said, Todd, you know, sometimes when these systems come together, you cannot predict, you know, 2 days or even 20 minutes in advance. And so I think the interesting thing about that analogy is that's what we're facing. That's what we're facing in business. Yeah. That's what our churches are facing.
Yes.
There are so many changes.
Yes.
Coming from a church where, you know, we went from one campus to 9 campuses in 4.5 years. And I can tell you that each little one of those adds a multiplication of complexity that you
it's
never
imagined.
It's not
1 + 1 + 1. It's
absolutely not.
It's exponential.
Yes.
And so thinking about that from an organizational perspective, mm-hmm. thinking about that from a business perspective, thinking about that from even our lives and how we work and how we spend time with family, how we play, all that has changed.
Yes, it has.
Because technology has entered all of that.
Yes.
There is no such thing as a 9-to-5 job anymore, especially in leadership.
It isn't.
So we can talk about boundaries all day long. We can talk about some of these things, but it's not going to get any easier. And it's going to continue to be complex.
Yes.
And we're shifting from a time where you could simply train someone to be a manager or you know, I feel like we've just entered the age of the specialist, and now that's being completely erased and disrupted.
It is.
Because you can't specialize anymore because one person cannot possibly keep up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you try to specialize, whatever you specialize in is probably obsolete by the time you're a specialist.
You're right.
So you get really good at something, and then you no longer matter. And you have to be able to be sort of omnicompetent.
You do. I read a futurist I used to follow on trends made this comment that I think is so true, and it's still been a valuable nugget of wisdom for me as a leader. And basically said, you're going to need 3 things to survive in the marketplace in the future: the ability to deal with change, the ability to lead and understand people, and the ability to communicate. Everything else will go away or change. And that was just fascinating to me. And as I thought about it, it was probably about 5 years ago when I heard that. I think it's true. And so you're right. You're going to have to know more. You're going to have to be gifted in more than one area. You're going to have to be more comprehensive in whatever discipline you're in.
So it was change.
The ability to deal with change, the ability to lead and get along with people, all the people skills, emotional intelligence, huge. And the ability to communicate both written and verbally.
The communication
was the third one. That everything else, any other job, is gonna go away or change. And so I think you're so right. No matter what discipline you're in, you're going to have a broader view to be able to navigate the marketplace of today.
Well, and you can't rest on your laurels. It's like, I graduated. I understand this, you know, particular aspect of business.
I love some of the, there's been some lawsuits with graduates from some very prestigious schools, paid big bucks, and couldn't get a job when they got out.
Are they suing somebody?
The students are suing the university because they invested $100,000 plus in their education and then couldn't get a job. We can sue over everything, Barnabas. But it was interesting because it said that's not going to be enough for you either. You can get an education from a top school and still not be marketable today. So that's one of the principles I believe for today. We have to teach people how to own their own development, be very proactive in that, and grow yourself. I get asked a lot by women to talk about women in leadership, and one of my soapboxes is, we're not a victim in this country. If you were living somewhere else, maybe you could say you're a victim, but here, you're empowered to grow yourself. There's too many opportunities. Don't sit back and blame an organization or blame somebody else that you're not growing and reaching your full potential. There's no excuse for that. So,
and this whole conversation, in fact, I think we've probably already moved into answering our second question, okay. But I'll say the question and then we maybe just continue what we're talking about.
Okay.
And that is, so in your present role, you just talked about all these changes, change
yes.
management,
yes.
People development being a major point of emphasis. Do you have a specific point of emphasis in your leadership right now for your team moving forward? I think you probably have mentioned it already, but just specific point of emphasis going forward.
Well, right now, several things. One, because of the amount of change we're going under, communication is huge right now. An open dialogue. You'll read a lot about employee engagement mm-hmm. As a key factor for a healthy organization, and that really is just about an adult-to-adult conversation. The whole hierarchical system of leadership is totally over. It's over. It really is more of a flat organization, and a leader ends up being a partner because the leader doesn't know everything today. Mm-hmm. A great leader is going to understand they can't trickle down the future. It's going to have to be a collaborative effort of multi-talented and gifted people that come together to share a diversity of insight that will cause something greater to emerge than any one person could do alone. And so teaching leaders how to become that kind of leader is very critical. So leadership development is really huge on my radar. And a lot of the future trends I'm reading, beginning to map out this, and Todd, you mentioned it, it's the work anywhere, anytime model is definitely the future. Moving away from a time frame of 9 to 5 or around here, 7 to 7. it really is empowering individuals. Get your job done. We trust you in when you're going to do that. We want you to have life balance because, you're not going to be healthy if you're not taking care of yourself. And, of course, we believe that spiritually and taking care of your family. But giving employees the freedom to say, if you want to come in at 10, that's fine. If you want to go to your child's school and do something, fine. We trust you to get the job done. And we understand what the outcome is. And so we're going to give you more freedom to manage your life.
So quick question on that. So yeah. I think my observation, having been at Lifeway for a year and a half, is there are teams and departments that yes. do that very well. I think there are some others that, and I don't think it's on the leadership necessarily, the employees have a hard time getting comfortable with
yes.
that because for 25 years they have done,
yes.
They've come in at 7:30 or 8 o'clock
yes.
and they've taken their 15-minute break at 10 o'clock and just these very consistent schedule, and that's how they're productive.
Yes.
How do you help people who have an established work pattern get comfortable with that kind of change?
Excellent question. Some will not. And that's why a change management process is going to be necessary. We don't want to force this on everyone. I was reading a stat the other day by 2020, 75% of the workforce will be millennial. Now, I don't know if that's going to be true for us. Our average age here is 44.6. It's gotten younger. The millennials will have no problem with this work anywhere, anytime.
Right.
It's in their DNA.
It's
in their DNA. It really is. So there's going to be, and this is my general rule, and it's statistically validated, 30% of your workforce today are going to love this, and they're going to jump right in. About 40% are going to want to. They're going to need a little help and some tools. and we can get them tooled up. And they'll get comfortable with it, but it'll take them a little longer. Mm-hmm. We'll get them the technology tools. We'll let them begin to do it, and pretty soon they're going to be all in. 30% are going to have a really hard time. And that 30%, we want to be gracious with. We're not going to force it on them. We'll let them go slow. And some will opt out. The pace of change will be too much for them. And they'll adapt to something that's maybe a little less stressful than the pace of a lot of organizations. So some won't be able to do it. And I believe, my view of people is feelings are not right or wrong. They just are. You give people permission to feel what they feel, and you help them as much as you can. And but most of our people will adapt. 30% are already ready to go, and they already think they know the answer to this, you know. We're talking a lot about what does it mean to be a mobile worker. Mm-hmm. You'll hear a lot of different words, but really it's about that mobility that technology allows so well. And those that are adapted to technology, they're already doing it. We're already doing, you know, it's natural. We work 24/7, unfortunately, but though some of the initiatives, so for me right now, communication is huge, and teaching us new tools how to communicate. It's not a one-way communication. So for a lot of people, they've got to learn some new ways to have dialogues with people and create meetings that allow dialogue. So we're looking a lot at that. We're looking at mobile training, and it's not just work at home. It's very different than that. So getting new tools in place for that. And helping people deal with change overall and all that change means. So, and then leadership development, which is huge. Very exciting time.
It is. It is.
So what are some of the obstacles that you're currently facing in leadership, either from the coming into a new role in the organization or personally?
Oh, wow. You said it earlier. I mean, for all of us, now since January, over people, my phones have not stopped ringing. They're lined up. The emails are packed. I've got everyone that wants to talk to me. What's been interesting to me, I have been very surprised by this. I have people around the country wanting to talk to me. There's something about this role. I don't know if it's because we're nonprofit. I have a state leader flying in to see me because he wants consultation in this. So that's been a surprise. So just like all of us, I'm managing the overload. Mm-hmm. How do I prioritize? How do I, how do I filter this? What's my boundaries? So I don't know if it's the newness of it and the place we are in, but I've been most fascinated by the calls that have come in outside of Lifeway about this role and people wanting consultation about it. So it tells me in our churches and in nonprofits, people are really needing help in knowing how to deal with change in the time we're in. So, just like you, I'm at the empty nest stage of life, so I have been for over a decade. It's wonderful. Adult children, I love it. But my husband and I have a ministry together, so balancing home and time with him and our ministry, very active in our church. He's on staff at our church as an associate pastor, so we're in a large church, so ministry's ministry. And then I'm a grandmother, so...
And that's the most fun position of all.
It is absolutely. If you want me to spend an hour, I can tell you. 4-year-old grandson and two, a granddaughter, Abby, and a grandson, Caleb. It's the most fun of all. And I'm still adjusting to being a grandmother. Two of my grandchildren have been in Bangkok, Thailand for over 3 years. So that's been interesting to do grandparenting at a distance. But they're coming home.
So you must love Skype.
I love Skype. I love technology. Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. My grandchildren know me very well over Skype, and what a blessed time we're in. But I'm just like you. We're on equal playing ground as leaders in an organization. We're all trying to deal with the speed of change and the overload, the overwhelmness of how do we balance our health, our spiritual health, our families, in a time when we can't stop growing, can't stop learning, and the pace is so heavy. If I can write that book, then that's going to be a bestseller.
Right. Well, you mentioned earlier the idea of this flat structure.
Yes.
And the need for communication between employees and leaders. And
yes.
So Lifeway is a pretty large organization. Yes. We have, what, 1,200 or 1,300 employees here in Nashville, yes. not to mention around yes. the country at the stores. And
4,000 plus total.
Right. Yes. So how – this strikes me as an obstacle.
Yes.
Or at least a challenge.
Yes.
How do you set it up so that many employees can speak – can have their voice heard, mm-hmm. Because that's difficult in a smaller organization, yes. especially people who are used to hierarchical structure. Mm-hmm. So how do you set it up in a large organization so that people can feel heard and legitimately be heard?
Barnum, it's a great question. It's multiple things you do. It's more of a culture of that. We want a culture of employee engagement, and it happens in multiple ways. It happens best in the smaller teams within an organization, because that's who you live with, breathe with, you have the most interaction with. So you're going to get the most engagement at those levels. But it also happens in broader team meetings, the culture that says, I have the freedom to talk to anyone in the company that I want to. I have the freedom to ask any question I want to ask. That, you know, I can do that. There's no rules. There's no hierarchical rules. Which there used to be, that you weren't able to speak to people in certain positions. I could tell you so many stories being around here for a long time that can't be the case for the future. And you teach leaders how to be open with employees. Again, that open door policies, you can email, you can ask a question. No question is off the record, even if it's a question you don't like. You know, we want to hear it. So that is so important. It's an adult to adult organization that says, I respect you, I trust you, and I want to hear what you have to say matters to the organization. And so you can have order in that. You can have process in that. And I find with adults, only children get a little chaotic and crazy, but adults know how to manage. You can empower adults. You're going to have a few exceptions, but that will be the exception. Most people know how to manage themselves, and they know the limits of their own capacity and the capacity of others. I find when you have healthy organizations, it's so natural that it doesn't become disruptive. We do it all the time. We have the freedom to do it in meetings. We have It's one of the challenges for our organization. And I was talking to an outside consultant once, and I made the comment, because we're Christian and we're Southern, we'll be nice to each other in a meeting, and then we'll go back to our offices and say the truth. And he made the comment. He said, it's not just Christian, it's Southern. He said, there's something about the Southern culture that yes. we won't speak truth to power.
I moved here from Chicago, so I haven't quite adapted to being well, good. Nice
Barnum,
yet.
It's good. Well, I believe in the biblical way to do it is we speak truth in love. I don't think we have to be angry, but we should speak truth to each other. I mean, it's so sad that someone wouldn't tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And we want truth spoken. We speak it in love. We speak it with respect. I believe very strongly in submission to power. Very much. It's a biblical truth. But people in power need the truth spoken to them. Mm-hmm. And I find when you do that graciously, they are so grateful that you've told them the truth. Now they may bristle a little bit, but at the end they're going to be grateful.
But
so.
That I mean that phrase with love makes a lot of the difference, because it's not you're not challenging authority, you're not insulting.
That's
you're
right.
Speaking truth enough. In a way that's trying to help.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
That makes sense. So you very clearly. Care about your family,
yes.
your ministry outside of Lifeway. You mentioned the marriage,
yes.
the marriage and family ministry, your husband's role in the church, which means you're obviously very plugged
yes.
in there as well, which leads us to our fourth question. That is, what does leadership look like for you in your home and in that mm-hmm. ministry outside of this work context? And how do you take, you're deeply invested here at Lifeway, mm-hmm. all of this change management, everything. How do you take those principles and bring them into that other very important area and lead there?
Yes. Well, excellent question. I believe that's why I love Scripture. There's biblical principles on how to live no matter what arena you're in. And so I've counseled people before. It's such a waste of energy when you're a different person in different places. So once you get comfortable with yourself, you just take yourself wherever you are. So I like to think that how I lead here is how I am in every place that I am. Now, I clearly believe that my husband is the leader of the home. And we are partners in ministry. And we've been married 39 years this year. We've been doing ministry all that time together, and we're in this season now because of Empty Nest. We can do so much more together. Evenings are not, you know, go home to school and kids to bed and all that. We go home many times in the evening. We take a couple to dinner that we're ministering to. We go visit someone who's lost a loved one. We're just doing that ministry together all the time. So it is, I have more time than families that have young children. And I really speak into that a lot. You know, fathers and mothers with young children need to guard more boundaries so they can give that energy to their children and family. Our lives are full. Mm-hmm. I mean, our lives are full. So we try to balance it. You know, Rodney and I love to ride bikes. We love to hike. We love nature. And so we try to spend time, just the two of us, in getting out and doing that. And so I wish I had a formula. One of the things I learned years ago, that wherever you are, be fully there. When I'm at work, I'm fully here. Now, my girls, when they were home, they knew they could get mom anytime and they were a priority. And that was the truth. If my girls needed me, they called. I was there every time. And that was just a rule we had. And it really built security for them. They knew they could get mom if they needed mom. And I could tell you hilarious stories of boyfriends breaking up and them calling me. It was the end of the world, and we had the moment. You know, things that were important to them. But Rodney and I have that rule, too. He counsels a lot. If I call him twice, he knows it's important. He'll drop whatever he's doing. And we just have that commitment to each other that we're a priority.
So what would you go back and tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to leave?
That is hilarious. You know, I'm almost 59. That's a long time ago. Wow. I think I would probably say to that 20-year-old girl, be more confident in yourself. Go with the gifts God's given you and accept that. Don't try to do everything. Narrow yourself in that place. I was a perfectionist, and I tried to do it all. That was a struggle for me until my mother got breast cancer and died when I was in my early 30s, and I learned that's when I had a lot of gifts from mom's death, not to do it all and not to be a perfectionist. But I think it would be to relax, be comfortable in your own skin. Don't second guess yourself. And just enjoy life. But man, how could any of us go back? That 20-year-old girl, probably with all the mistakes that she made, is part of the wisdom I have today as a 59-year-old woman.
So I guess you could think of it in terms of, if you met a 20-year-old today who reminds you of yourself, what would you tell her?
That's what I would tell her. I would call out the gifts in her, and I would say, those gifts are what God's given you. Be confident in those gifts and use those gifts. With courage, with boldness. Don't ever apologize for the gifts that God has given you. Be you. I believe that God has put the thumbprint of His creativeness in every one of us. And what's beautiful about the body of Christ is we bring the diversity of those gifts together. And that is what I believe God rejoices over, is that that picture of all of us using our gifts. So I would encourage her to be confident in herself. A lot of young girls in our culture, in Western culture, really, really, really struggle with self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I know you men struggle with other issues in our culture, but women, it is the stats on girls with anorexia, self-esteem issues. Cutting now is such a huge thing for young girls. It is painful. And it's all this Western world perfection of beauty that is so deep for girls. And one of the challenges girls have, too, is one of my daughters really struggled. She was very gifted in science and math. And when she hit middle school, oh, my goodness, it wasn't cool to be a girl and be gifted in those areas. She overcame that.
To be honest, it wasn't cool to be a guy who was good at those things
really?
Either.
Really?
Math and science. I mean, in middle school.
It wasn't cool to be anything?
No, nerds are not cool. Okay. That comes later.
Okay. Well, she got over it. And you did too, Barnum. That's good.
Well, I wasn't good at those. I wasn't the nerdy kid. I had other problems, but yeah. Not that one.
But I think I love to pour into young girls. I love it. It's one of my greatest joys to call out their gifts, encourage them to reach their full potential in Christ. And we need more women older doing that. It's a biblical teaching. But many girls struggle so much with self-esteem. And I struggled with self-esteem also. And the woman, I'm more confident in Christ today. And that's part of that spiritual journey where you settle into the Lord, you know more of who you are in Christ. And so that's what I like to encourage young girls to do today.
Well, that's excellent. And this has been one of the most encouraging conversations we've had on the podcast. So we really appreciate
that.
Thank
you, Barnabas. Thank you. It's been a joy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. And thank you. Yeah, thank you for taking the time. Obviously, with everything going on, you mentioned overflow everywhere. So yes. Thank you for making us something that you could invest in. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. Thank you.
Well, that was this week's episode of the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. We would love it if you'd be so kind as to jump on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. That helps other leaders like yourself find the podcast. Thank you for listening and tune in next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and watch a short demo video. For participating, you will get a free 30-day trial for your entire church. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.